We're in the book of John tonight, John 6. If you want to turn there and read with us, John 6. John 6. I can't speak for everybody in the room, but sometimes I read scriptures and sometimes it don't go the way I feel like it should have went in the story. You ever do that? Like, that's not how it should have went. And I think this morning's passage with the woman, you know, and it just seems like that you look at it and you think, the Lord was hard on her, but He really wasn't. And I think this lesson tonight goes with that lesson. You're going to see Jesus do something in this lesson that doesn't make sense, but I hope it will before you walk out the door. Does that keep you awake for a second? So this lesson will start in chapter 6, right in the front of it. John chapter 6 is the longest chapter in the book of John, and I'm not going to try to read it all, but I'm going to try to cover it all a little bit at a time. It all started with the feeding of the 5,000. And you know the story, how that they were a group of people that had gathered, and it was getting late, and they were hungry, and the Lord wanted to feed them before He sent them away, and He told them to get some food together, and the disciples tell Him that, you know, we don't have enough money to buy enough food for this much people. But we have a boy that's got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and Jesus said, that's perfect. Set all the men down in companies and set them in the grass. And He does that. And there were 5,000 men that were seated. Now, we know the Bible tells us plainly that there was women and children. So I don't have any problem thinking that maybe there were 15,000 people in that crowd. So I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a crowd of 15,000 people? That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And Jesus sets them down with this little boy's lunch, and He feeds them, and there's 12 baskets left over. And the next thing you know, He sends the disciples away, and Jesus goes away Himself on a mountain. And we know the next part of the story, that Jesus comes walking on the water because the disciples are in the storm. Right? We know that part of the story. Now, I'm getting you where I want to get you to. You just got to walk with me till we get there. I want you to pick up the reading with me now. Now, let me say this, by the way. How many miracles have we had so far in this story? Feeding up the 5,000, everybody raise your hand if that's a miracle. All right. How about walking on water? Was any more miracles in that story? Look at verse 21. Then they willingly received Him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. I think that's just exactly how it read. Like, boom, they're on the ship, boom, they're on land. So we got like 3 miracles already taking place in our story. So now they're on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. We pick up our reading in verse 23. Let me go to 22 because I want you not to miss. It's all going to be about that group of people that were fed. These followers of Jesus. All right? Verse 22. The day followed when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone. Now, if I've not lost you yet, this 15,000 people have noticed there's only one boat gone. And Jesus didn't get in the boat with them. And they're on the other side. But where'd Jesus go? And how did He get over there? Verse 23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So we got this 15,000 people, if you're okay for me saying that, and they're following where Jesus is. So he's there with them one day, he feeds them. The next day they can't find him. They're going to go to the other side and look for him. I don't know how many boats it takes to get 15,000 people across the sea. But I'm going to say it's going to take a couple of boats. Y'all with me? So this 15,000 travels across the sea to find Jesus. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? I love trying to talk like that. When'd you come over here? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And then you're going to get there with me. So hang in there. You got a bunch of followers following Jesus. But Jesus says all of a sudden, Arnie, y'all, you all follow me for the wrong reasons. And I'm thinking, but at least they're following. That's what I'm thinking. At least they're following. If they follow, they might get it. Y'all nod. But Jesus wanted to make sure they get the real thing and not follow and not get the real thing. I'm headed somewhere. I'm afraid we got a lot of people today that's liking the name Jesus, and they're coming around and they're coming, but they're not getting him. Y'all with me? Going to church is not a bad idea. Following the commandments is a good idea. But none of that will get you to heaven. Y'all with me? And isn't that the end result we're looking for? Well, I just like to have a better nation. I want saved people. I'll take a great nation, but give me saved people. I want better schools, but give me saved people. If we're not careful, we got our eye on the wrong ball here. And Jesus is just pretty blunt with them. He said, you're following me, you're seeking me, but not for the not because of the miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Then he tells them, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat there which endures unto everlasting life. We know what he's talking about. He's talking about himself, right? Now watch this. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? There you go. What do I need to do, preacher? Accept Jesus. I know, but what I need to do? Accept Jesus. I know, but what I need to do? Accept Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Now, it gets better. Watch 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. Y'all are going to be shocked at what I'm about to say. So I hope it's recorded and you can go back and check this out. But salvation has always been one way. And that's believing in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, you'll never get to heaven. Go to church, sing songs, pray prayers. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you can never be saved. And he said, here's the work. The work of God is this, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Can I paraphrase it? Believe in Jesus. Verse 30, you're going to love. They said therefore unto Him, you ready? What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Two fish, five loaves of bread, 15,000 people fed, 12 baskets left over. Jesus walks on water. He gets in the boat, immediately on shore. We need a sign. You want to say, here's your sign. Right? I mean, what else can Jesus do that they would know that He is who He said He is? Is it possible that you can come and witness everything that God is doing and not see it? I go home sometimes on Sunday night, y'all would not believe it. I am so wired up. Shell just lets me go. And I'm up all night, half the night on Sunday. Because I'm thinking about people. I'm thinking, what's it going to take for them to accept the Lord? They're talking to me. They're asking questions. And they're like right there. And I'm like, why can't they see? Now see these guys. What else could Jesus have done to say, ta-da, I'm Him? I mean, really, what else could you do to make them understand? Well, keep reading with me. In verse number 41, the Jews then murmured at Him. Because Jesus is going to tell them, y'all ready for this? That I'm the bread of life. They were talking about manna from Moses' day and talking about all the food, the bread. And Jesus is going to look at these guys and said, hey, look over here. I'm the bread of life. And they begin to murmur among themselves about that. They begin to complain. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Now, a while back, if you just want to go home when you get home tonight and reread this whole thing that I'm running through quickly, they're thinking Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah, because nobody could do this kind of stuff He's been doing. And now they're saying, isn't He just Joseph's kid, Jesus? How do you go from you're like the Messiah to you're just Joseph's son? Because the things that Jesus is telling them, they're not liking. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You know, I'm not big on telling you about other denominations or other religions, but I lived where Catholicism was very strong. And they literally believed that the little wafer and the cup was literally, when you take it, it becomes the body of Jesus, and the cup becomes His blood, literally. So one of the ways you're going to get into heaven, if you're Catholic, is you must take communion, Holy Communion. You must let the blood, the body, and the blood, the juice, become real to you. Now we Christians know better than that. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection, just like baptism is. But it doesn't save you. You can eat a bunch of them little cracker things and you'll never get saved from that. You can do juice or wine. I don't care which one you do, but you're not going to get saved from either one of them. And this group began to argue and murmur among themselves. And here's what I'm saying. They were right there. But they're going farther and farther away. And I'm getting you where I want to get you to, and we're about there. So go with me now to verse 60. And I'm going to give you this to think about as you go home tonight. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" I can't tell you how many times that people have come to church and started coming closer to knowing the Lord, and then they hear something hard, and out they go. Salvation comes with repentance. I got to step down here for a minute. When you ask the Lord into your heart and save you, you repented first. Am I right or wrong? Right. And when you repented, what you did was you said, "I'm turning away from that way of living, and I'm going to go another way." Am I right or wrong so far? Believe it or not, you get saved just as you are. But God has a new way for you to live now. How come no? Thank you, Calvin. I got nothing from down here. He didn't say, "You come as you are and stay as you was." Calvin? Amen?
I'm basking in my glory up here.
Is that what he said? Come as you are and stay as you was? He never said that. It's come as you are, but I got a new way for you to walk. And when people hear that, then people all of a sudden like, "I'm done with that. Now you're going to throw some rules and regulations out." No. God's going to tell you a better way to live for your benefit. So you can have a life of joy and peace, and you'll find joy in serving God. And you'll find out when you gave up something that God asked you to give up, it's so much easier than when the preacher asked you to give it up before you were saved. Hang in there with me, Calvin. I've lost everybody down here. So here's this group of people following Jesus. And the Bible said seeking Jesus. But it's not going the way. Think about the effort they put forth to find Him. But they're not finding what they're looking for. Or what they think they are. Keep with me now. Jesus, in verse 61, knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Does this offend you?" I've been offended at church, ain't you? I usually get offended at the study time. I come across the scripture like, "Woo, that's offensive. I'll let them know now, since I'm offended. Y'all need to be offended with me." I love when Jesus called them disciples, by the way. "What and if shall see the Son of Man ascend up in where he was before? Is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are" what? You ready? "There are some of you that believe not." What do y'all think? Is it possible to sit in a congregation, sing some songs, but don't believe? Absolutely. Our prayer is eventually something will happen that you will. But watch this. I told you when I started today that this was a hard scripture to read. So watch this, verse 65. He said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except the Father, except it were given to him of my Father." Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples did what? Say it out loud. Yeah. That's it. Now here's the question that Steve sat in there studying last week, all by myself, just enjoying some time in the Bible. Here's the question that popped up in my mind, Anita. Why didn't he go after them? That's a good question, preacher.
Free will?
Free will? That's good, Bobby. I got an issue, though. Peter denied the Lord. He gets ready. Jesus comes out of the tomb. An angel appears to the ladies, and the ladies say, the angel says to the lady, "Go, my disciples and Peter." Right? Y'all with me? Why did he give extra power toward getting Peter back and he didn't go after them? Ah. Y'all hear over here? Peter, y'all ready? Peter was one of his. Boy, got quiet. You know, you can be a follower, but not a believer. Hey, I don't know if y'all have caught this or not. I've been trying to read the verses and just plop them in your mind. But Jesus keeps answering them with one thing. You need to believe in me. You need to believe in me. You've ate the bread, but you need to believe in me. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the world that's enjoying the worship of Jesus, but they don't believe in him. Now, this is going to get real clear because Peter, Steve, in the story, I just make Steve Peter. Jesus looks at them in verse 67. He says, "Will you go also away?" Now, watch this answer from Peter. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord," y'all say it, "to whom shall we go?" To whom shall we go? Ready? "Thou hast the words of eternal life. And..." Let the sirens get by because you can't miss it. "And we..." There you go. Well, you're one of them easy believism guys. Yes, I am. I believe you need to call upon Jesus. I believe you need to follow Him. I think He died for you. If you can believe that, you can have eternal life. So go ahead and condemn me now. It's for everybody. If you'll believe. But let me talk about belief just for a minute. Peter said, "Where..." Can I say it in my language and then you all know I'm not like changing the Bible? "Where else could we go? I've tried everything." See, I can tell you, in my life, I tried other stuff. Anybody else try some stuff? But nothing worked like Jesus did. When I gave Him my life, there was something about when I accepted Christ, how there was like this peace that came over me. Alcohol couldn't do that. Nothing else could do that. It was Jesus that did that. And Peter is saying, "Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe..." I circled that word. "And what? Are sure." I got to talk to you just a second. I've been building you up for the end. I lost everybody in the beginning. Some of you picked back up. You're right with me now toward the end. "Are sure." Believe is in the mind. Believe is when it comes to the mind and you say, I get this. And I believe this. But let me tell you the "are sure." I've experienced it. I've been through some stuff. And He was with me in the stuff. And you ain't going to convince me to anything else. I ain't going back with them other guys. I don't need to eat the bread because I'm all in. Amen. What we need today, see, salvation is all in. I have been hung up since I've been a preacher on Matthew chapter 7 passage. It's bothered me my whole ministry. When that crowd of people said, haven't I prophesied? Haven't I done many wonderful works? And Jesus looked at that crowd and said, sorry. I never knew you. That is hung on me, Lona, from day one, 42 years ago when I got into this. Because there's going to be people who's convinced down here that they're good when they get there. But they've convinced themselves on the wrong stuff. I go to church. I wear a tie. I've quit cussing. I don't drink as much as I once did. I mean, you convince yourself, you've made changes in your life, you've done everything. You know what? I've even found myself putting some money in the box back there. I seen the preacher, he's driving a little newer car. Maybe we're putting too much in the box. I don't know. Because he gets everything in the box. Y'all know that, right? And so we start just thinking out loud, start thinking our minds. But you know what? The problem is there's a whole crowd of people, according to what I read, who don't know Jesus and have never accepted Him and haven't believed in Him. Don't that bother anybody besides me tonight? And then I read this story of this 15,000 people. And the best I can tell, Brian, almost every one of them walks away. That's not like shockers to nobody but me. And then Jesus don't go after them. Well, that's exactly what happened. Because Jesus is telling us this morning, if you seek me, what? You'll find me. But what else did I say? Anybody remember? If you search for me with all your heart. See, you've got to be all in. You can't have Jesus and water. It can't be Jesus and communion. It can't be Jesus and quitting some stuff. It's Jesus only. I'm thankful. Because I don't think I could have done it any other way. Aren't you thankful for that? So when I read this tonight, and I see this guy that believes and is sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. There was no place else for these guys to go. Even though they're going to leave him at the cross. But you know what they're going to do? They're all going to come back, Paul. Because there's no place else to go. Because they're sure. See, what we need right now is a group of people that's sure. No matter what comes, I'm sure. I love what Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy. I know whom I've believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What? What day? The day that his heart beats his last breath and they get ready to call the undertaker in and he's already gone. And he's in heaven. That day. He's not worried about that day because that day's covered. Amen? But here's 15,000 people. They ate some bread. They liked it, Betty. We'd like to have some more of that bread. You got any more? And they said, if you could just do some miracles, we might believe. Y'all ponder that one on the way home. The Lord's doing stuff in front of us every day, Greg. He's proving who He's got every day. Oh, and I see God. I see what He does in people's lives. Don't you all see that? But you know what? Everybody's not seeing that. I'm praying for them. I'm putting names on faces. They need Jesus. Pray for my... I had one today. I run into him at the pizza place. Pray for my dad. There you go. I can do that. See, we got kids who want their dad saved. Kids who want their dad saved. Y'all hearing me? Do you know anybody that's not saved? well, they're coming and everything. That's wonderful. But I want them to do more than come. I want them to believe. Don't you? Because when you believe, then you're sure. And then other people start paying attention to what you're doing. And they might start believing and become sure. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Lord, as I read your word every day, I just find myself just in awe of stories. But Lord, I pull myself back and I look at the big picture and I understand it. It's always the same. There's people who follow you for other reasons than the right one. But Lord, your main goal is they would believe on you. You said that was the Father's work. So Lord, as we try to share you with the world that don't know you and don't understand you, Lord, give us a more desire to pray for people. Give us a desire to live for you in such a way that people could see you through our life. Lord, if there's somebody in this room tonight that's not sure, like Peter said, where else can I go? We believed and are sure. Lord, that's what we need today. We need disciples like that who are sure. So Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not sure, I'd pray for them, Lord, that they might would come and know you that way tonight. Lord, I pray for others who may be struggling in other ways tonight that you might encourage their hearts to follow you closer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.